Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to another edition of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host this week, joined by Tom. How are you, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
I'm fantastic. And we've also got a special guest this week, Donnie. Donnie, what's your new Twitter handle, actually, because you've changed it again, haven't you?
Oh, I don't know. I tried to make it easier for you guys. It's I think it's DonnieRob77. So, yeah.
There we Donnie's go. Fine. He's been on before. He's flying high in the overall league, but Donnie's here to give us some insight this week as a special guest. So we'll start where we always start. We'll go to our league top three. There has been one bit of change. Number one is still Jack Curran. Now he's now got 1.368 overall. Second is Hab United, Per Habstad, 1.345 overall. Up in the third is Conquering Lions, Robbie Dempsey, 1.331 overall. And he had the highest game week score as well, 97 points. And I think he's a champion, so he's actually flying. That must be really consistent, 2 years in the trot. So we'll go to our game week scores before we move into the fixture and stuff like that. So I'll start. I had 61 points this week, but I took a hit. So 57 overall. I had Strike and goals for 9 points. Bassey and Tavernier, 2 and 3 points apiece. I had McMahon, -1. Doig, -2. Vice Captain Taylor, 10. Charles Cook, the hero, 17 points. Boyle, 2. Rogic, 5. Captain Maeda, 16. And Watt for nothing. So, considering the damage at the back line, I'm pretty happy with that. And my new rank is up to 24th in the world. So, going high. Dory, I'll come to you first. What was your game week scoring rank?
Yep, so I had 46 minus my transfer deductions, 4 took me to 42. So, probably one of the worst weeks I've had yet. I had Maynard Brewer for 2, Bassey for 2, Captain Tav for 6, Jovanovic 16, Ramsey for 6, Boyle for 2, Rogic vice captain for 5, Kent 2, Abada 3, Watt got me nothing, and Ramirez got me 2. So 42 points for the game week. That takes my total points up to 1.343, which put me down a little bit, but I'm still 9th overall, so still in that top 10.
Not bad at all. Tom, save yourself.
I got 52 points this week. I had Maynard Brewer in goals as well for 2 points. Bassey for 2 points. Captain Tav got me 6. Cochrane got me 6. In midfield, I had Charles Cook for 17. Hungbo for 1. Boyle for 2. Sean Goss for 2. Abada for 3. Up front, Morelos got me -1. And Vice Captain Maeda got me 12 points. And I am 174 overall.
Not too shabby at all. Right, so we'll go to the fixture results first, then I'll come to you, Tom, for any stats you've got. So we had the Monday night, Celtic 2, Hibernian 0. The rest of the card was Tuesday, Aberdeen 1, Rangers 1, Dundee United 1, St Mirren 2, Hearts 2, St Johnson 0, Livingston 2, Dundee 0, and Ross County 3, Motherwell 1. Over to you, Tom.
So we'll start off with the Monday night game, Celtic versus Hibs. Two of the new boys started for Celtic in the form of Rio Hitate and Dazen Maeda. And it was Maeda who scored the opening goal. It was Juranovic also that scored the second in the form of a penalty. There was no Celtic player that had more than a single shot on target in this game. Abada did hit the post and he really should have made it 3-0, but unfortunately never. And Celtic also notched up another clean sheet, which I think makes Juranovic a really good Celtic option going forward, in my opinion, just because he's also on penalties as well. So there's a potential for returns at both ends of the pitch. And he was also joint top in this game with Hitate for key passes with 3. Hibs, I kind of thought there was a lot of talk this week about Boyle. I was thinking it was maybe going to you know, maybe wasn't going to be in the right headspace for this game, but I thought he had a decent enough game. He's had 5 assists in the last 5 games, but obviously drew a blank against Celtic. And Nisbet, obviously, big player last season. I didn't think he was too great in this game, but I'll be interested to see what Sean Maloney can do with him going forward. Hibs did have the bulk of the possession in this game, so they do have a bit about them. I don't know what you've thought about the two new Celtic boys, Peter.
I like the look of Hatate especially. I didn't think he was going to be a fantasy asset. There's a question on this later, so I might go too much into it. But I think he looked quite good. This makes this team look stronger. I also wouldn't, on Hibs' point of view, I wouldn't take too much into this because Hibs have looked good up to this game. And I thought they improved in the second half with some tactical tweaks. So I think if you get Hibs players, I still hold because I think they look quite good in the morning so far. So I'm waiting to see how they go against other opposition. I mean, when they play Celtic and Rangers, you expect them to drop points. So they play anybody else, that's when I expect them to make other points for you.
Yeah. And Donny, what's your views on Celtic and Hibs?
I think Maida is giving everyone the striking option that's probably lacking at the moment in the game. If he can go on a good run, then I think there's a lot of value to be had there. Nisbet was unlucky with that chance right at the start when it was still 0-0. I think him and Boyle do play well together. If Boyle stays, then I think that'll be good for them. They've got, I would say, some relatively good fixtures up to the Hearts game, so I wouldn't be looking to offload any Hibs players yet. But yeah, I've got Juranovic, so he's kind of saved me this week in terms of points, and it's definitely one to look at if you're wanting to bolster up your defence.
Yeah. Moving on to Rangers and Aberdeen. Stats-wise, Aberdeen seemed to be the more dominant force. They had 58% possession to Rangers' 42. And 15 shots to Rangers, 7. However, Rangers did have one more shot on target. It was Ferguson that scored from the spot, and that's 2 goals in 2 for the midfielder. And he's also the 6th highest scoring mid in the game. He has 5 goals, which probably isn't a huge amount, but he does seem to almost every game get a point for having 40-plus completed passes, which I suppose adds up as time goes by. This was the first time that Rangers have conceded since November, so I'm still very confident in the Rangers' defensive double-up, especially that they face Livingston next week. And also it was a penalty as well, so it wasn't like it was from open play. So I still think Rangers' defence are pretty solid. Aberdeen, obviously, have a nice run as well. They've got St Mirren next, then St Johnstone, then Ross County, then Livingston. Though I'm not too sure on what Aberdeen player I would go for, if any. Donny, have you got any suggestions for the Dons?
I thought Jenks played not too bad. Ramirez, seems like a long time since he scored. Jenks looked okay. Ferguson probably is a standout option there. Defence, Ramsey all the way. I actually took him in this game week, not because I thought he'd get a clean sheet against Rangers, but he ended up getting 6. You know, when your team's conceding goals and you get 6 points as a defender, you know, he's back in amongst the bonus points. So anyone who's, you know, not got an Aberdeen defensive asset, then he's certainly, I think he's 2.1 million now.
Mm-hmm.
He's been out injured, so probably get back on him would be my advice. But yeah, I thought Jenks played okay.
And anything to add about Rangers? How would you feel about this?
I think, you know, what you have to remember is they won the last 10 games in a row. So Aberdeen away is probably our hardest fixture of the season. It's a cup final for the Dons fans, so they really get stuck in about it, and you could see that. I think the referee kind of lost the plot with it. He was dishing out a lot of yellow cards, but I went Kent this week. I took him in for Aribo. I thought with the assist that he got early in the game, I thought I was going to be in for good points, and then of course he loses that by getting sent off, and it gives me a selection dilemma for next game week. But it was just an off day for Rangers, and there's not been a lot recently, and so, you know, they've got a good run of fixtures before the Celtic game, so they should get back in their stride.
Yep. Peter, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I wouldn't get too knee-jerk with Rangers. As Tony said, it's a one game, a hard game away. If you're playing at Celtic Park, Ibrox, Pataudry, Easter Road or Tynecastle, these games are going to happen. You're not going to win every game of the season. It would be too easy. Assets wise, I was going to take Aribo out this week, but I plumped for bringing in my aid instead, so I managed to avoid, because I was going to bring in Kent as well. That was going to be my option, so I got lucky by not doing that one. Yeah. And Ramsey at the back, I just think he's such a good enabler at that price, and as Donny said, his points, he's already collecting bonus points first, second game back, so 2.1 million slides in there and lets you spend money elsewhere. And I think he will collect, he just the way he plays his style of football, and he's going to collect bonus points most games.
Mm-hmm. If he stays.
That's also true, yeah. And Ferguson as well, if he stays. Just on Ferguson as well, I like Ferguson. I know he's the sixth highest point scorer, but there's just that many good options in midfield in a game that, who do you get out to bring Ferguson in?
Yeah.
Especially if you're using the bench trick as well, because there's another, so it's hard to get him in, so I've no really inclination to go for him. Though I wouldn't go against it if you want to bring him in, but I just think there's better options in the game.
Yeah, definitely something to consider. Dundee United 1, St Mirren 2, and a couple of favourites from last season featured in this game. And they were playing for St Mirren. Kilty got 2 assists, and Henderson got his first senior goal as well. Kilty's 2 assists, they were the first attacking returns for him this season. He's actually often a sub, and sometimes he doesn't even feature at all. So perhaps he's gave Jim Goodwin something to think about from this game. I maybe not jump on Kilty just yet. And obviously Henderson was a favourite from last season for doing absolutely nothing, because he was obviously we like using him for the bench trick. He got his first senior goal. He has only featured in 5 game weeks so far this season, and he's only started the last 3 games, but it's definitely something to monitor. If he can build on that, boost his confidence, then maybe something to consider there. Looking over at Dundee United, I thought Charlie Mulgrew was the standout for United. For a defender, he managed 4 shots, 2 of which were on target, and missed a big chance there as well. Dundee United's early season form for me, though, does seem like a distant memory. They've not had a clean sheet since November, and they've only scored 3 goals in that time. However, Tony Watt, maybe he can change that. What do you reckon, Peter? Is he going to be a factor?
Well, I've got Tony Watt. I'm glad he changed over, so I was thinking of selling for Van Veen. And I know some people are kind of worried about Tony Watt, but I think they've also signed him. He's going to be highly paid, so he's going to be playing week in, week out. He's going to be their focus point, so I think he's still relatively cheap enough. You can have him as your second striker or your first off-the-bench striker. Form-wise, like you said, Tom, I've got McManaman. I like McManaman when he was at Hamill. I think that's the reason I still had like fond memories and bombing up that wing, but they're not keeping clean sheets. He's not playing every game. He's not bringing points back, so I think he may want him to be quickly removing from the team for like Ramsey and save myself money. None-wise, there's nobody on their team that's on my radar yet anyway. I don't think I missed out on anybody. I don't think there's anybody who's going to be a feel I need to bring in. Unless they have been a good form and start keeping clean sheets more regularly, there's nobody there I really want to bring in.
No.
Charlie Mulgrew, again, his price range, and there's cheaper alternatives that are keeping more clean sheets. So.
Exactly, yeah. And Donny, your thoughts on Dundee United and St Mirren?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at a game, it was 2 teams bang out of form. I think that's St Mirren's first win since October. There's nobody on that pitch that would even, make me think of putting in my team. You know, Kilty, last season was great. Got 2 assists. He actually had a goal chopped off as well. So, probably did have a good game, but unless that's consistent, you wouldn't want to be dipping into St Mirren and Dundee United. I've got Watt. Again, I just kept him because I didn't really want to lose a transfer. So I'll keep an eye on him. If he doesn't score in the next couple of games, on one of them Celtic away, give him a chance this weekend at home to Ross County and then see where we're at after that. But those 2 teams are just struggling right now.
Yeah, nothing too exciting there. Hearts 2, St Johnston 0. Josh Ginley got 2 goals and Bae Mackay got the 2 assists, and obviously another clean sheet for Hearts. I don't think we can get too excited about this result, as it was against bottom of the table St Johnston. We talked about Chifchi last week. He made his debut for the Saints and he actually didn't do too bad. He got 3 shots on target, the most of any player on the pitch, and he missed 1 big chance as well. So maybe something to keep an eye on. Ginley, he's a 3.2 million midfielder and he played in the striker role. since Boyce, I think he remained on the bench. He wasn't going to be risked for the cup game this weekend. Prior to bagging his brace, he has only managed one goal and two assists so far this season. And obviously his time playing in the striker position will be limited as Boyce returns from his injury. And the two assists, Barry Mackay, he's a bit more expensive. He's a 4.4 million midfielder. He's averaging assist every second game since game week 15, so not too bad. On the downside, he got two bonus points, and that was the first time he's ever been in within the bonus this season. And he's never had any passing, interception or tackle points. So I don't know if he's worth the 4.4 million. Perhaps Gordon, Boyce and maybe a Hearts defender might be a better option. Donny, what's your thoughts on Hearts?
Hearts played really, really well. So Johnston were unlucky. They had some good chances, but they just played like a team that was, you know, bottom of the league. They had May, Chiefchi and O'Halloran, so they're quite a strong forward line, but they couldn't really get anything. Mackay was probably the standout there. He's given me a little food for thought. I don't know if he's done enough. Genley with the two goals again, I don't think I'd be jumping on that one just yet. I think that was a one-off. As far as that's concerned, I don't have any Hearts defensive assets at the moment. That's probably one that I would want to get back into.
Peter, what do you reckon?
I'll be short and sweet with St Johnson. Not interested. Now, they did play better. I'll give them that. I watched the highlights and I thought they looked a bit more like they were more a cohesive unit. So maybe it's something to keep an eye on weekly if they start improving results and you can jump on players quicker when they're cheaper. The Hearts point of view, I was going to say I have no Hearts assets, and that's a complete lie because I've got Boyce on the bench. I've not got Gordon, I've got Streak instead, and I've no other Hearts. I know they're sitting third in the league and I have no other Hearts assets. The only one that stands out recently has been Mackay, like you said, but he's in the position where Charles Cook would be, that kind of fourth or fifth midfielder, whereas Charles Cook's cheaper and he's returning more currently, so I'm not ready to sidestep to that one. So I wouldn't be Gordon, obviously, probably the most owned goalkeeper in the game.
Yeah.
Yes, and I. But I moved off him at the right time to the Lousney goalkeeper, who since then has returned more points. So I'm happy with that move. Not interested in going back right now.
Yeah. I'm thinking about Gordon. I mean, in goals, I've got Mayer, Bruner, and Clark. So not great goalies. So Gordon still is the top scoring goalkeeper in the game. So it's food for thought. Livingston 2, Dundee FC 0. A brace for Bruce. Bruce Anderson managed two goals from six shots, four of which were on target. He also missed two big chances and hit the woodwork, so it could have been a hat-trick. He's had three goals in the last two games, though most of the season he doesn't seem to be guaranteed a start. He's kind of in and out of the team, and his returns do tend to be patchy as well. So it wouldn't surprise me if he went on another quiet spell for the time being. I'm not really going to be quick to rush on any Livingston assets. I don't really think there's much else to note from this game. What do you reckon, Peter? Any Livy or Dundee assets?
Dundee's a big fat no. Again, their forms fell off a cliff. I know they did a couple of spells recently. They looked decent and we got a couple of wins under their belt. Just don't see any there I want. Livingston-wise, I've got the keeper. I'm happy with him. They do look a lot more defensively sound when I watched highlights. He's got them playing well again. I suppose you've got to take into consideration, some frogs up the front, the turnover at teams at Livingston. I mean, the team played well last year, and at the end of the season, they're basically replacing seven or eight first-team players, I think, or first-team squad players. So they didn't start the season very well, but now he's got them taking over. He's a decent coach. Obviously, he's got something about him. So you said you've been interested. I wouldn't be against a Livingston defender somewhere as your fifth choice or a goalkeeper, because they're keeping decent clean sheets. As I said, Streak's returned more points since I've had him in than Gordon, so if you get a defender at the same time, you're probably going to get the points as well. Anderson up front, if it's your third choice striker, I don't think there's anybody else decent enough in that price bracket. You could have him if you're struggling to stretch it. Like you said, Tommy, he's quite patchy, so he'll be sitting on a bench, using the bench trick to bring him in, and maybe one every 5-6 weeks you're going to get the returns from.
Yeah, I think Van Veen was roughly the same price.
There you go, there's one there, there you go.
The fact that Watch went kind of maybe cements his position in the side a bit more, so I'd be more inclined to go Van Veen. What do you reckon about that one, Donny?
Yeah, Dundee avoid at all costs. I've still got McCowan in my team. He did score a brace before the break and had some good points, but I'm looking to get him off this weekend. Livingston at home are always a threat. I think we all know that over the years. However, their next two fixtures are both away. Rangers away and Hibs away, so I don't know if you're going to get much value there. Anderson, yeah, he's a type of player. If you've got him in your team, great. You've made some good points this week, but he's not somebody I'd be going to look out to buy. I don't think he's consistent enough. And with those tough fixtures coming up, it's going to be tricky for him.
Just on that as well, Tom and Livingston, think we got two fixtures away from home. That's a good time to just watch and see how they get on, because if they do pick up anything in these next two games at all, or they run these teams close, then I think that's a step in the right direction. You maybe go right after the two games, then to bring somebody in defensively.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because it's St Johnstone after that, so
there you go.
You want to tag him for that. Finally, then, Ross County 3, Motherwell 1. The obvious standout in this game was Charles Cook, who managed two goals. He's now the third highest scoring midfielder in the game, having just taken over Boyle this game week. And I reckon he's probably a bargain at 4.1 million. For Motherwell, Jordan Roberts got the consolation goal with a Van Veen assist. Van Veen now has three goals and one assist in the last three game weeks. And as I mentioned there, he's probably going to be the main man now that Watts went to Dundee United. He could go the other way now that he's not got someone challenging for his spot. He might take his foot off the gas. That's another thing to consider. Thoughts on Ross County and Motherwell, Peter?
Ross County are a good team to watch, but they can't keep a clean sheet, but they score plenty of goals. It's just one of them. So you wouldn't be touching Andy for the back. And I think we covered it last week, Tom. The midfield options was Charles Cook, Hungbo, Callaghan. Yeah, it was all right. I think I'm missing somebody else. But you can't go wrong if you have one of them as your... Obviously, you can't go wrong. But you can't go wrong if you have one of them as your midfield options coming off the bench, Charles Cook, because they just seem to be returning quite well. Mm-hmm. Charles Cook seems to be announced as the one you said. He's the one to stand out, head in the back. He's still relatively cheap. He could still be your enabler in midfield. If you want to do with a boy like him, you could do that as well. Who are you playing again? Motherwell? And Van Veen up front, I think, like you said, these are the options. Maybe if you've got that cheap striker like Van Veen, Anderson, Watt. I'm personally going to be watching Watt, like Donny said as well, for the next couple of game weeks, see how he gets on, how he fits into the team. If he's not returning, then I think it's an easy move to Van Veen. Motherwell, it was a bad result for him, but I think we said it last week, they were the third overall in the calendar year for point-wise, so they're also still on a bit of decent form, and he is like the main man. I just hope that he grabs it with both hands rather than, like as you said, resting his laurels a wee bit.
Yeah. Donny, your thoughts?
Yeah, it was a good game. Ross County, I can't imagine they score three goals at home too often. They're certainly playing well under Mackay. I don't have Charles Cook, and that is a sore point for me. I've got Hungbo, which, had been getting some good points, but is now injured. So I will probably just make a direct switch to Charles Cook. He takes penalties as well, which is always something you look for when trying to bring in somebody. Motherwell, I guess, just wasn't their day. I think across all the fixtures, there were a lot of teams that were maybe just rusty from the break, not having that competitive football. I think they will probably come good. Again, it's a long trip up to Dingwall, just if they had a bad night. Doesn't make them a bad team, and I think that Van Veen will probably be the recognised striker. That's probably your most go-to Motherwell asset.
Yeah.
Done, Tom?
That's us, yeah. That's us covered the fixtures.
Okay, Donny, come back to you quick again. You're on. You all said you text me, DM me, sorry, there's not enough Rangers voice in this chat, so I'm going to let you talk Rangers now. We didn't really go down...
Yeah, you picked a good week for it.
That's just unfortunate. We didn't really go down the route of Rangers' defence under the kind of end of Gerrard's reign, apart from Tav, obviously. Mm-hmm. But now it's changed under... I can't believe I wrote down Gio, but it's Van Bronckhorst. Gio Van Bronckhorst. What's now changed in Rangers' style of play? Whose assets now to pick out? and who to avoid now that he's kind of changed tactic-wise?
Well, squad-wise, nothing's really changed between the two managers. I think Rangers maybe were just getting a bit stale under Gerrard. Although it was a sore one at the time, him leaving has probably helped. And the fact that we went on a 10-game unbeaten run, a good win in Europe to get us through those stages, has certainly made the difference. There's a lot of ifs and buts coming up here for a few different reasons. McGregor's first choice goalie, apart from the cup this weekend, he's always going to be your number one pick. I don't like picking old firm keepers. It ties you up. It's probably not the best. Tavernier, again, you're going to got to have Tavernier in your team. The back four, Tavernier, Goldson, Bassi and Barisic, that's been pretty much the settled back four now. And I've got Bassi. That's the two Rangers defenders that I go for. So the first spot here is Balogun's back and Hollander is in training. If any of those two start to feature, it'll be Bassi that drops out. I can't see it coming anytime soon, but that is one to watch. So out of that back four, you've got Goldson's always going to be playing, Tav's always going to be playing. Probably Borna has definitely improved. He was struggling. In fact, Bassi had originally come in for Barisic in that position, but he's definitely improved under Gio. And the amount of clean sheets we've had since he's been in place has really made a massive difference to the squad. Midfield is a minefield. I would probably stay clear of the midfield. Aribo was the one genuine point scorer. He's having a fantastic season, but could be a few weeks yet before he's back. Nigeria's doing pretty well, so it could be a while till then. As I say, I made the Kent swap. I thought that would be quite an easy one. He managed to get himself sent off. Hadji will be playing in that Aribo role. He could go there. It's a risk. Scott Wright will probably get a game now with Kent being suspended. It's a punt. It's going to be a difficult one in terms of consistency for Scott Wright to get any points, any big points. Up front, Morelos, absolutely on fire in December. Player of the month. I think if you had Morelos this game week, you were probably just unlucky. You know, that handball, couldn't do anything about it. I think he was just trying to get out of the way and you've ended up with minus points. But he's a man on form and then now he's going off to the internationals for Colombia. So we're going to be without him for a few weeks. So Sakala, he's going to be the direct replacement. Roof's back this weekend. If he gets his scoring boots on, I'd probably go Roof ahead of Sakala. Itten was recalled from his loan spell. That's another threat up front. But I'd probably just stay with defensive assets just now and watch what happens. Only thing I would add to that is we've gone back to the 5 substitute rule.
Mm-hmm.
So like Itten, Sakala, they're not playing, they can come off the bench and score. So you don't have to rule them out entirely. But as a Rangers fan myself, I would probably just stick with Tavernier, Bassi. If Bassi starts to drop out of the team, then you want to get maybe just Goldson or Borna. And until Aribo comes back, I'd probably just stay clear of that midfield.
What's on that, Tom? Does that make you think about Rangers assets?
Yeah. Sounds like I'm going to have to get rid of Morelos for a bit now.
See, I was planning and trying to work towards bringing him in to get called up. And you're like, now we've got to go somewhere else because it was a plan to downgrade somewhere to get, like we're talking before, Tom McBoyle at some point maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's now another span in the works, so you've got to wait. Aribo, I've liked to look at these. To me, he's looked the most improved player after what I've seen under Van Bronckhorst. He looks to me like a unique. I've got him in a unique game because he's playing pretty much like a number 10 right behind him, and I said, that's brilliant. So I would have him in, but then he's away and as Donny said, Nigeria's doing pretty well and he's playing pretty well for Nigeria, so he's like, he's going to be playing. I think they're going to go quite deep in the tournament, so that takes you to February. So it's, as Donny alluded to at the end there, it's kind of big at the back, I think, until otherwise soon. But is it true at all, would you say, this is because it's Swanee talking to me here, that Tavernier and Barisic aren't pushing as far forward as they were under Gerrard? Are they more reserved? Are they still pushing for like a second winger?
I think with Tav, he'll always go forward. But defensive-wise, that was something we needed to sort out. The amount of times Rangers would go behind under Gerrard was phenomenal. And we were lucky. We won a lot of the games, but that, stops at a certain point. But they are more of a defensive unit, and that's shown in the amount of clean sheets they've had in the last few games. And Aberdeen was a penalty. There's a fortunate penalty at that, so it could have been another clean sheet there. But I still think they provide attacking assets. But at the same time, we have tightened up at the back. I'm not sure that answered it, but certainly that's where you want to look if you're taking in any Rangers players is at the back.
Well, I say this before, Tom, we always talk about this numerous times on the podcast. Over the space of the season, Celtic Rangers will score the most goals and they'll keep the most clean sheets. So you're not going to go wrong long-term if you bring them in, because it's just the nature of things, that's just going to end up at the end of the season. They will have to score the most goals between them. They will obviously have to get the most clean sheets. So 9 times out of 10, if you've got them at the back, you're going to get more clean sheets. If you've got them up front, you're going to get more goals. Happy to move on?
Yeah.
Right, the fixtures for the game week coming up are... So it's next Tuesday it starts, because also there's a cup game this weekend. So we've got Tuesday night, St Mirren versus Aberdeen. Then on Wednesday, we've got Dundee United, Ross County, Hearts versus Celtic, Motherwell versus Hibs, Rangers versus Livingston, St Johnstone versus Dundee. So are the transfers, captains and vice-captains coming this game week? Also, the standout fixture there looks to be Rangers over Livingston. So I'll come to you, Tom. Hey, Tom, Donny first. Any transfer thoughts this game week? And who's going to be your captain or vice-captain as it stands?
So I'll probably take in Charles Cook. I need to change one of my strikers. I'm talking about taking Nisbet in, and I wouldn't be against it, but just depends. If he's playing in the cup game and gets a few, that might change my decision. But I certainly need a striker. I suppose Van Veen's an option as well. Captain-wise, almost 100% going to go Captain Tav. Vice-captain, I did it before. I went Bassey just to try and make sure that clean sheets. But I'm always worried when I do that they'll backfire against me. I've got Rogic, Abada. I went Rogic this week. It didn't work out. I'll maybe go one of those. So I'm not quite set yet, but yeah, the Rangers at home is a good fixture to lump on, I would say. The only thing I would say about the way the game weeks line up is because that Aberdeen game's first, that's the only team news you're going to get. And because it's cup games this week, a lot of teams will make changes. So it's going to be quite difficult to, get some consistency. You're going to have to punt ahead of this next game week. So just watch out for that.
With yourself, Tom, same transfers, thoughts, captains, vice-captains?
Transfer-wise, I think if Kyogo is going to be fit, I'll probably have to go Abada out, Kyogo in. Captain-wise, I think it's pretty nailed on Tav. Vice-captain, I'm thinking between Bassey or Ross County. I've got Dundee United, who have been conceding quite a bit. So I could go Charles Cook for vice-captain if I fancy a bit of a punt.
Right, myself, transfer-wise, I've got a Joe Rebo-spaced hole in my squad that I need to get out of. I think he's going to be gone for a week. So I don't know who to bring in midfield-wise. I don't know if it's worth bringing a Rangers midfielder in who's not. Because the one I wanted was Kent. He's gone. I don't want to take a punt on somebody who's going to be a team 2 weeks' time, so I'm going to have to mull that one over. I might bring somebody in to enable the week after, like if Jota's going to be fit, because he's also priced quite high, so I could bring somebody in cheap this week, and then I can upgrade to Rogic the next week. That's probably my long-term plan, because I think Rogic will start dropping out the team if these players start getting regular football. Captain-wise, I think it's a no-brainer with Tavernier at home, and probably will just go the vice-captain Bassey, because as Donny said, you're not going to get team news, so you've got to go for what's nailed. So Tav nailed as nailed can be, unless he picks up an injury somewhere. And I don't think Bassey will be out of the team so quickly. So I think he'll be playing. So it's probably two. I know it's a bit risky having the two, but if Rangers keep on playing the solid at the back, I don't see Livingston breaking them down. So I'd like to think that would be two clean sheets banked. And you need to keep that sound bite for next week when Rangers lost a goal and you lost your 13 points. Right, we will move to the question. I've got a couple of good questions this week. Let me bring them up. Work me down. Right, okay. Billy Hadaway. At Billy Hadaway. What's the best way to approach bench boosting in this game? Seems like a lot of reshuffling that needs to be done to get out a full team of 15, especially with when using the bench trick. So, Tom, bench boost. Talk us through it in this game.
Yeah, I think in this game, you're probably going to want to use the bench boost straight after a wild card when you've got a full squad of 15. Or even if you're really reluctant to get rid of your non-playing player, 14. I used mine a while back, but if I still had it, then I'd probably be waiting for probably towards the end of the season when you get that second wild card, I reckon, because you're not too fussed about what happens because you've only really got 5 game weeks left to go. So squad balance probably isn't going to be top of your list. That's probably how I would approach it.
Yep, I'll come in here next. I'm the same, Tom. I would be using it after the second wild card when probably the last 5 weeks I probably be dropping the non-playing player, probably, maybe, descending, and hoping we've all playing players by this point and bench boost. I don't like a chip bench boost now that I have. I think it's quite a... You probably could replace it and get better chips. I mean, if you play the gaffer game or anything like that, there's more interesting chips you could have than a bench boost. If you're lucky and there's double game weeks and you fail correctly with your transfers and you may have a couple of players on the bench who are playing double games that week, then obviously that's ideal to do it. But apart from that, I don't really like it and I'm not really fussed with it. So I'll be using it. If the plan is now, we'll be using it during the split. How about yourself, Donny?
Yeah, so I've used mine already. I used it when there was the spate of those double game weeks. I also used my wild card at the same time. I'd have to cast my mind back, but I don't think I got a lot of points for it. And that was just the way that it works out. You don't want to compromise your team and fill it up with, you know, maybe just cheap players that are going to get a game and it's maybe just 2 points that then you're going to have to take a -4 the following week. So it is an unpredictable chip because you can have one game week where they all do well and you get the points. And then when you plan for it, you get nothing. So it's a tricky one, but it needs to be hand in hand with a wild card, I would say. Either, you know, after a wild card or, you know, junior wild card to make the most of it.
I'll be feeding that back to maybe at the end of the year, like we fill out our review of the game. I'll be saying, scrap that bench boost and get something else in. I know it's unrated, but like, in that, after that chat manager game, Tom, you're on it as well. I mean, see, they've got a bonus point double chip. So if you were lucky 1 week and you get a couple of players in your team who are getting maximum bonus points or tackle points or passing points, and that chip doubles them for the one game week, to me, that's more interesting than the bench boost, but I suppose they're sticking to as close to FPL as they can possibly be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. The thing with the Scottish game as well is you get your 2 transfers straight after as well. So after, if you're going to use your wild card and your bench boost hand in hand, then you've got 2 transfers the following game week to try and fix your
back
team.
Out it. Yep,
yeah.
Right, next up from FPL Maz, who's right behind me in the league, so he's on my tail. Thoughts on Hatate? Was so impressed with him versus Hibs. Will he be a good fantasy asset? He's only 4.1 million. I'll come to you first, Tony. What do you think? What do you make of Hatate? What do you make of him in this game?
I have absolutely no idea. I think when you've got a fully fit squad to pick from, I don't know if he's the go-to player. I think the boy up front is probably more of a one to go for in my eyes. I think with Kyogo's back, Jota's back, Turnbull's back, I don't think that guy gets a game. I might be wrong. I might be using my blue tinted glasses here, but he did have a good game, don't get me wrong. A comfortable 2-0 win at home always brings out the best in players. He seemed to be all right, but I don't think he would be a consistent starter once everyone's back.
I'll go next. I think he looks a good player, but I don't think fantasy-wise, there's so many better options in midfield than him, and he'd be using up one of your spaces. Okay, Michael, nuts 1 week, Tom, and let go assist crazy or get a goal, and you're like, great, hit him. But I think when you've got the option of Juranovic at the back, or any defender, basically, who can keep clean sheets, and you've got your Jota, Kyogo, Roddick to an extent, Maeda is up front, and Forrest, if he comes back at the team, I think it would be wasted slot for a Celtic player on your team. Who yourself, Tom?
Yeah, I would agree. Well, we looked at the stats. Well, his returns this week, he got 3 points, two for the appearance and one for the clean sheet. He didn't get any passes, surprisingly, because he was making some cracking passes, plenty of through balls. So there is a potential for assists there. But he never got any of the smaller bonus points. He didn't feature on the regular bonus points as well. So, and then you've got to think who you're replacing him for, because you're probably going to want to have Juranovic going forward, or a Celtic defender, because defensive-wise they've been great. They've been a bit shaky, but they get the clean sheet in the end, and that's all that matters for your fantasy points. And then you're probably going to want Kyogo when he's back, just for his form the first half of the season. And then you're going to have the likes of Maeda up front, Jota when he comes back. I think those guys are probably going to outscore him between now and the end of the season. So I don't think so. I mean, we want to see a bit more of him first before we really make a definitive decision. But as it stands just now, that would be my feelings.
Plus, just on that as well, he's playing in the furthest back of the three. So if anything, it makes McGregor more an option if he's playing the one up. Mm-hmm. If it stays that way, it could all change. They could move about, and as Donny said, they might not be nailed as a first team starter, so you go with what's nailed. But with what we've seen there, he was playing deeper, so McGregor was playing further forward. So McGregor is similarly priced, I believe, so he would be more an option with the pass and assist. But for me, as it stands out, I'm not interested in fantasy wise. I don't think it's worth your while. You've got better options out there if you pick from the Celtic squad. Right, next up is from Josh McSee Footblog, and that's at Josh_Footblog. Is Regan Charles Cook now a must-have after the 17-point haul against Motherwell? Donny?
Yes. I don't think it's even just for that points haul. I think if you look at his stats over the last few game weeks, he is getting returns. He's taken penalties, which I've mentioned already. I would be getting him in. I think he's consistent enough for a team that, let's face it, they're not doing that great bottom half of the league, but they're getting attacking returns. You know, when you compare them with the likes of Dundee and St Johnstone, you know, they are a team in form, they're scoring, and just can't create clean sheets. So for me, I've got Hungbo, he's injured, take him out. Charles Cook, direct replacement, and that's that fix. So yeah, I would definitely get him in, I have no doubts on that one.
Tom?
Yeah, I would agree. I think you need to get him in. Ross County, even if they're not winning, they're still scoring plenty of goals, and he's in amongst it, either with goals or assists. So for me, it's a no-brainer. He's not that expensive either. By the time you get all your Celtic and Rangers players in, and you've got Boyle sitting there taking up 6 point whatever million, you're looking for a bargain. I think he's one of them.
Yep, totally agree. I think he's nice price point. Six overall in the game. He's outscoring one of his premium players on Boyle. He's nailed. He's on penalties. I'm sure he's on some free kicks as well in corners. So, to me, if you've not got him, you should be getting him in. As you said, both of you have said, they may not always keep clean sheets, but if they do score goals, I mean, is it popped up and he's either the assist or the goal scorer? He just seems to be thereabouts. So, I think he's a must-have. Even if you just get sitting on your fifth choice bench and come on for the bench boost, I think you've got to have him on your team because you're going to miss out on potential more hauls last for the season finishes. Right, next up, I like this question, that's quite good actually. For Robbie Dempsey, so that's Bolexo, at Bolexo Online. What's the best captain strategy going forward? Alternate Juranovic and Tav for their home games, so I'm assuming he means because they're both now fullbacks and they're both on penalties. What's your thoughts on that, Tom?
I do like Captain Tav. I don't know if I would captain Juranovic, though he does seem...
It hasn't got the same ring yet, has it?
No, he does seem fairly set on getting clean sheets so far this season. I'm not too sure. Because Celtic, they do like to score goals, and if Kyogo comes back and he's bagging in a brace and getting bonus and things like that, I think he's probably going to outscore Juranovic, despite Juranovic being on penalties. Plus, he puts a few crosses into the box, but he's not getting a huge amount of assists either, so I'm not sure about that. I think you could alternate Tav at home with an alternative Celtic asset when they're playing at home. but I don't know if it is necessarily going to be Juranovic.
Donny, thoughts?
Yeah, I think if you lined up their stats, you know, Tav's attacking returns from assists would be far in advance of Juranovic. I mean, I do have them both for that reason. You know, the Celtic penalty taker is always going to be a key player in my eyes, and the fact that it's a defender is all the better. I just think Tav will get more attacking returns from assists, pops up with a goal now and again, penalties. Rangers probably do get more penalties than Celtic, and I think that's just to do with styles of play. Celtic, I think they've only had about 3 pens this season, not had a great deal.
You smirking there? You smirking there?
I can see you grinning, so you're making me grin.
I might tell you that if Roof comes back, Roof is the penalty taker for Rangers, and it's only Tav at the moment because Roof's been out. So you just need to keep an eye on these little things, and it could switch. But that aside, I think we've always captained Tav for the very reason that his returns are right up there. Next couple of games before the Celtic game, again, you're probably hoping for 2 clean sheets and other points there. But certainly worth getting Juranovic in the team if you don't have him. It's a stretch because most folk probably went Ralston, which got you good points. If you can afford to, then I'd have him in as one of my Celtic assets. Well, I do have him, but that's where I'd be looking to go.
Yep, I would bring him in as well. That's my plan, I think. I could have got him last week as well, but I brung in Taylor because I thought Taylor was going to be more nailed. So I could have been even better game week score, but this is what I can get to him, so I'm going to get to him at some point. The captain alternative thing, I don't think I'm on board with that either. It's both of you have said, if Tav's got an away fixture to a Dundee or a St Johnson, I'm still going to captain Tav because I think there's more upscale with him there. And if Celtic's got a home fixture to Dundee, St Johnson, I'm more likely to think it would be Jota or Kyogo who will outscore. Because, yeah, as you say, they're doing that. Most of the goals are from open play, so you're kind of relying on hoping to get a penalty in one of these games in, and hopefully he's still on penalties. But I'd rather be thinking, if whoever's playing up front for Celtic, or whoever's playing on one of the wings is crawling to outscore Juranovic. So I would, not captain alternate, but I would definitely be advocating to bring him in 100%, because I think even watching the both fullbacks in that game on Monday, he gets further forward than Taylor. He, even though it's inverted fullbacks, he still keeps to get further forward on his side, and Taylor keeps to come inside a bit more. So it's just the eye test would say Juranovic is more chance of attacking returns than Taylor. Okay, next question. We're running out of questions here. Right. This is from Blades Attack. And we're going to actually answer this for Hearts fans, so we'll take an extension as well. So, what is your take on the Hearts front line? I brought in Woodburn this week and he was nowhere to be seen. Still can't find anything to explain why. The boys think him off the bench and GMS seems to be back in favour, while Mackay seems nailed without seemingly offering much. Kevin Wood, who's a Hearts fan, Cablefish 89, answered, Woodburn out with an illness. I could potentially be COVID. Hearts hopefully be back for the Celtic game, so, and Boyce is not risked as well, and kept for the cup game. I think Zinis will be the one to drop out of the front three when Boyce comes back. Mackay's our most creative player. We've covered that. He's 35 key passes for the highest in the league. So, Tom, thoughts on the Hearts front line, and if you've got Boyce, are you holding him?
I don't have Boyce. I'll have to see how he gets on when he comes back. It might be a stretch for me to get there because I've got Maida and I've got Morelos, which obviously takes up a lot of budget. But the fact that Morelos is going to be away for a couple of game weeks, you know, I might make the switch. But we'll see how they get on at the cup game, and obviously that's a good indicator for us over the weekend. I don't know if I'll be rushing to Barry Mackay. 4.4 perhaps is a bit of a stretch. For me, kind of Hearts, I'd probably be looking at maybe Gordon, the fact that he's the top goalkeeper still. And Boyce, I think I'd probably be satisfied with that. I do own Cochrane, and he is getting clean sheets now and again. I tend to use him as part of the bench trick. So I think maybe Barry Mackay is a bit of a stretch.
Dory, thoughts on the Hearts front line?
Yeah, bottom in, I think we've all probably had Boyce in our team for most of this season until he got injured. I do want him back, but he needs to show form. And at this moment in time, he's not playing. It's hard to gauge. If he plays at the weekend, does he then play Wednesday? It might come too soon. They are also at home at Hearts, home at Celtic, sorry. It's going to be a hard game. Going to be tricky to get attacking returns there against a good Celtic defence. So it might be one to hold off this next game week. I think Hearts are better at the back. They play Motherwell after Celtic. I think I'd probably go for a Hearts defender rather than a striker at the moment. It's just difficult without seeing the actual form. Boys coming back, you'd be taking a punt, and it might come off, but I'd rather wait and see myself.
That's the motto of this podcast: wait and see all the time. I've got Boyce. I'm not going to sell him. I'm going to keep him on the bench. Do the best trick. I think there's no point in burning a transfer for him. If he gets back to full fitness, I go in the cup. Should be a good type. You maybe see him getting back. He was quite talismanic when he was playing at the start of the season. Then he must have been quite a bad one. Hopefully, gets back to some sort of fitness and playing regular again. If you bring him in this week, you say he's played Celtic, I would just wait another week. If you don't bring him in, you must have fired somebody else's team to replace rather than him. But if a couple weeks go by and still no sign him, then I'll probably need to start looking elsewhere. But until then, I'm happy to keep hold of him. Otherwise, I know the other names were mentioned, but there's not name that really stick out somebody I want. We mentioned Mikhail earlier on, but then you've got Cook, who can play the same and he's cheaper. So as both of you mentioned, I think Hearts are more a team that's at the back as well. You probably get players in there instead, and that'll keep you ticking over. Right, last question, a belter as well, from KevilleFish89 again, Kevin Wood. Looking ahead, with all players are fit and available, what is your combination of the six Celtic Rangers players you'd have in your squad? So there's no injuries, there's no international games, three of each. Donny, who would be the six players you would have? And I'm going to throw in there's actually no financial constraints in this either, because you could work it to get them in, I suppose. Who would you have in?
So I'll start with Celtic. I would have Kyogo, Juranovic, and probably Jota, the most informed Celtic players. I think that's what makes them tick. For Rangers, certainly Tav and Aribo. That'd be hard push to pick a third in the top of the league as well.
Morelos?
Morelos is always a tricky one. I would probably have tried to work him in had he not been called up internationally. He's a player of the month for December. He has had a bit of form. So, yeah, let's go Morelos.
Right, Tom, same question to you. Three of each.
Rangers, got to be Tav. I do really like the Rangers' defensive double-up, so I'd probably go with another defender. You could say Goldson or Barisic. But I think both are pretty much interchangeable there. And finally, I'd probably go Morelos. Celtic-wise, got to be Kyogo. We don't really know how he's going to fit with Maeda. Is he going to go out on the wing and Kyogo going to be up front? I don't really know. So second Celtic slot would probably be between Maeda or Jota, because Jota was firing all cylinders before he went out injured. And then Celtic, obviously, good defensive form so far this season as well. So probably Juranovic there as well.
Okay. Rangers, I think Tav's a no-brainer. I like Aribo. And my third slot would be between Barisic and Morelos. And I'm going to try to weigh up whether the defensive returns would be more than the attacking returns of both of them. So I'm probably swaying on Barisic for a two double up, and hopefully they keep more clean sheets and they'll be attacking returns for the fullback roles. Celtic would be Juranovic if he's nailed it right back. And in midfield would be Jota and Kyogo, I think, would be the three if they're all fit. That's the three I would go for. I think we'll cover pretty much same, maybe one or two different, but that's pretty much the same team. So that's that'll pretty much be the template, I think, at the end of the season. That'll be the players and people's squad will have them. Might take punts on, like myself, I'd Roger can a right good spell where he scored goals and he had assists, and I capped him in the double game we can also worked. But I think with the midfield recruits Celtic have made, I think Roger will be getting rotated a bit more, because he does look like he's dying his feet sometimes. So his wee sparrow lungs can't take 90 minutes every 3 days. So right, that was the last question then, guys. So before we finish up, there'll be no FPL chat this week, Tom, because Donny didn't play it. We'll do it on another podcast. Well, he played it before, but it drove him insane.
Yeah.
The Fantasy Football Royalty Rumble is still running. Tom, you have been eliminated a wee while ago. Me and Donnie still in it. So I'm going to... There's 15 people still left. You can check my Twitter account. You'll see what's going on. The next game week, it is 15 guys in the Rumble together. The bottom three points scores will be getting knocked out every week until there's a winner. It's got relatively good feedback online. People like the cup format, so it's something we'll be going for next year. It means you're not in a cup for 1 week. You're getting at least a couple weeks in it, a chance to get yourself in a cup. So it's doing quite well. Happy with that one. One of my better ideas in the podcast, I think. We'll keep that running. So before we go, I'll let you get plugs in. Donnie, plug your any way to plug and your Twitter handle so people can follow you.
Yep. So you can find me at DonnieRob77. Not much else to say. I think the way we've talked up Rangers and Celtic, you can probably expect the old firm to be 0-0. So look forward to that one. But no, certainly enjoying it. I think when you have a good global score, it means you're doing well each week. So it certainly makes it for an exciting game. And just thanks for having me on again. It's good to be able to offer advice, if that's the correct word.
You're the highest ranked, Donnie, so I'm assuming people will listen to you.
Yeah, no, I enjoy it. It's good to certainly know as a listener. I work from home and have that on in the background. It does help you make decisions or keep you off making bad decisions. Last season, I was too late for me last season. I couldn't be saved. But this season, I've started on fire and maintained it. And it's, thanks to you guys that offer some good advice, stats, information. That's really good.
How many points are you off first?
I am one. Let's see, I slipped. I think it's about 40. Give us a second. I'll just check.
Because you're still within striking distance where you could probably potentially still win it. I'm not going to say I'm going to try to win it, but you're still within the chance
third
to win
it. I did make it third in the middle of a game week, and then I went down to fourth, right? Mega League. 52 points. I had a bad week this week. If Ranger had kept us clean sheet, I probably would have stayed in the top three or four. So 52 points off. So certainly gives you something to aim for.
That's not unreachable, because it only takes one good captain pick, one good vice captain pick, and
you've
back 15, 20 points.
To be fair, it's not a bad bit of advice for folk who are maybe don't think they're doing too well. Go and have a look at the Mega League. Look at the guys that are in the top, three, four spots. Look at their team. Look at who they've got and the decisions they're making. I know you can't copy them because the game week will lock and you won't see it till after, but it's quite good to see what these guys are doing and see if you're on a par with them. Mm-hmm. I've seen one guy this week captained Charles Cook, 36 points. Who makes decisions like that? Mind blowing.
risky guys.
It's good to be in the top. Hopefully I can stay there until the end of the season. But I'm having fun and I'm enjoying it. And I think that's the main reason we do this.
We ask a serious question, Donnie. Do you cheer if a Celtic player scores in your team?
probably not, no. And I suspect it's vice versa. I think when Juranovic got that penalty, I was like, that'll do me. I think that's probably how we all react. If your team loses a goal, you're gutted because they're not going to do, potentially drop points. But if it's somebody in your team that scored, you're like, I can take that. But I wouldn't go as far to say cheer.
Just in case any of your pals are listening. What I do is, on that is, I don't like Rangers winning, obviously, but seeing you're 2-0 up, I'm like, well, see, third goal, it better be fucking Tavernier. It better be something you've captained that time your game's going. And I noticed you talk about the rank thing as well. I've noticed we're doing the cup and tallying the points up. Like, people who have got three or four good weeks in a trot, they're nowhere near it in the league. We just showed you that if you look, I'm only tallying up 3 weeks, 4 weeks at a time, and they may be like 50, 60 points better off than guys at the top 30, 40 because just the nature of the game. So it's, if you can keep on getting green arrows for yourself and if we targets week in, week out, then that's a good way to keep you invested. Right, Tom, your turn. What you got any plugs before we head off into the sunset?
I'm at FFS_Scout. You can hit me up on Twitter.
That's it. Nothing else. Tom's too busy now. He's married and he's back working.
That's right.
I'm at Fantasy Half, you follow us. You can also follow Gunnar at FP_Gunnar. He's still in charge of the graphic department, even though he's on a hiatus. But we're still there. Donny, once again, thanks for joining us. Your insight was good. We'll have you
You're welcome.
Definitely again.
Oh, thank you.
That is us, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again down the road. Bye-bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.